This is the May 3rd meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee. I'm the chair, George Reiter. I will call the roll. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron?
Here.
Lona Elias? Jim Brown? William Campisi?
Here. Here, present.
Don Cook?
Here.
Leslie Fox?
Here.
Jan Goodman?
Here.
William Heerwagen, Tony Norman, Venetia Patel-Adams, myself, George Reiter, Doreen Roberts, Muscula Myrtle Washington.
Here.
Okay, that's eight. That's quorum. The agenda is posted on KPFTX. Let me read it for the stream, and then it's open for discussion and amendment. So, approval of minutes, we don't have it. We don't have a secretary either. Report on medical liability issues, that's me. Report on LSB evaluations process work group, that's Serene. She's not here, but she did send an email with what had been done up until this point at around 5:30 my time, which is central time. So perhaps we'll get to that. There's a motion regarding sexual harassment training, which I won't read until we get to it. And that was submitted by Grace Aaron, and we're adjourned at 10:30. So, are there any additions or amendments to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, then the agenda is approved as I just read it. Let me bring you up to speed on the medical liability issue. I attempted to do that last time, but and we're not a lot further along than we were then. The question is, are we liable for medical advice that we put out over the air, either by a doctor or a host or a guest? And it turns out, according to our CPB lawyer, that yeah, we are. And he cited, you should all have received the letter he sent us after the governance committee sent him a query as to what was the situation. And the short of it is, yeah, you can be sued for it, and yes, they can win. The suggestion by Mr. Kriegler, who's our CPB lawyer, was that we actually talk to people who are more familiar with FTC regulations and FDA regulations, Federal Trade Commission and Federal Drug Administration, that the issues are more likely to be dealt with by that kind of law. So we did get a I said that I would ask Margie Wilkinson and Jose Luis Fuentes, who had previously volunteered, if they would try to dig up what legal issues, what legal information we can find to sort of flesh out the discussion of where we ought to go from here. Jose Luis did send me something a few days ago, and I forwarded it to you all just before the meeting. It comes from me, and it's, well, has anybody not received it yet? Let me put it that way.
When did you send it, George?
Just a few minutes before the meeting, 7:15, something like that.
Let me see. Yeah, I heard it.
Somehow I'm having, I know why. I don't know why. So, anybody not have it?
Yeah, I have. Everybody, nobody's saying they don't have it.
Okay, so, then I'll let you all read it.
You want to read it out loud for the stream?
Yeah, I could do that. And Jose Luis said he needs to look more deeply to give us any kind of definitive legal opinion about what we need to do, but he didn't have time to do it before this meeting. So I'll read what it says, and we'll go from there. So apparently you can be sued if the act that you do is deceptive. The Federal Trade Commission defines an act as deceptive if, first, there is a representation, omission, or practice that, second, is likely to mislead consumers acting reasonably under the circumstances, and, third, the representation, omission, or practice is material. To prove the above, first, the FTC must show probable, not possible, deception, likely to mislead, not tendency and capacity to mislead. Second, the FTC must show potential deception of consumers acting reasonably in the circumstances, not just any consumers. Third, the new standard considers as material only deceptions that are likely to cause injury to a reasonable relying consumer, whereas the old standard reached deceptions that a consumer might have considered important, whether or not there was reliance. And it says about disclaimers. Disclaimers or qualifications in any particular ad are not adequate to avoid liability unless they are sufficiently prominent and unambiguous to change the apparent meaning of the claims and to leave an accurate impression. So it's not exactly what we're talking about. It's really talking about misleading and deceptive advertisement. But it also seems to imply that you have to have a probable intent to deceive, which would be difficult to do, I think, for the guests that we put on and the doctors we put on aren't on there to, at least I would...
And tend to the stack.
For the most part, aren't on there to sell somebody snake oil or, you know, to trick them into taking a cancer cure, which doesn't work. They probably believe in what they're saying, whether it does or doesn't work. Yeah, Ken, go ahead.
Okay, there's two parties here. There's the station, and then there's the host or the guest. Okay?
Yes.
So the station can put some distance between itself and the material presented by the host or the guest. The host or the guest may be liable. All we're concerned about is separating the liability of the station and the network. So if... we're not that concerned about what Dr. Poo-Poo says or whatever. We don't care about the guest's liability. That's not our concern. Our concern is our exposure. So what we have to do is legally separate ourselves from claims made by the guest. I'm not a lawyer, obviously, even, you know.
Yeah.
But this is what we need, not something that shields the guest or the host or the from liability, something that shields us from the statements made by the host or the guest or presented on the program. And that's boilerplate. And the question to me would be, is there any reason not to do a boilerplate disclaimer? And we should at least have that in place, because I doubt that at any point in time our management will get around to handling this. But if we can just make a motion that they put up some boilerplate that separates them from statements made by the host or guest on the program, and that it's broadcast every half hour at the beginning or every end, the halfway and or something like that.
You mean in shows which are specifically dealing with medical issues?
No, any show. We have shows where people say, kill people who wear bow ties, you know. We have free speech radio. It's highly uncensored. So, or people who say you're better off, you know, voting. They might say to vote for this one or that, or they might say we hate these people or we love those people, or you should give your six-year-old marijuana, or why don't you just move to Cuba? All kinds of advice. And then we have these health and spirituality programs, which also deal with personal advice. So anytime I've listened to financial programs or medical programs on AM radio, there's usually a disclaimer. You know, especially when they sell the airtime to somebody, the station says, you know, KPCC or somebody, not, you know, WABC, whatever the station is, says they have a standard boilerplate disclaimer that they are not endorsing or denying or, you know, any of the claims made by this program.
This is Grace.
Yeah, anyone want to speak to that?
Yeah, this is Grace.
I'd like to be on the stack. This is Bill Campisi.
Okay, Grace, and then Bill.
Did you hear me, George?
Okay. I did. Yeah, you're next, Grace.
Okay. Ken, what John Kriegler, our FCC lawyer, said is, disclaimers do not completely shield us from liability. But, and Jose Luis has to research this more. Now, this may not be true at other stations, but at KPFK, we have gotten millions and millions of dollars in pledges for premiums that are sometimes questionable. I think the worst that I ever heard was this magic water thing. And we had numerology premiums at one time. And anyway, the alternative health premiums were really, really, have been really popular over many years. And it's a mixed bag. It would be virtually impossible to figure out which ones are credible and which ones aren't. I don't think we have the expertise to make that kind of adjudication on our boards. It's just not. And to censor that stuff, I think, would be doing a disservice to our audience, because one of the most negative things in society is the pharmaceutical industrial complex, which is pushing the overprescription of all kinds of medication, and it's especially egregious when those medications are being prescribed for children. In my view, so and there's an incredible thirst for alternative health information, and some of it is really, really credible and wonderful. And some of it is snake oil, and it's really very difficult to distinguish. Some of the snake oil stuff that appears to be snake oil is very credible, and in actuality, and some is ridiculous. And because we are offering premiums of actual products, it increases our potential for liability. However, generally speaking, the manufacturers do a significant amount of, would be the first parties who would be sued, and they, generally speaking, do a lot of disclaimers when the premium is mailed out. The premium itself has lots of disclaimers attached to it. So I think it's worthy of discussion, but I don't think that we should start engaging in censorship about that type of information on our air. Personally, that's my personal opinion.
Bill?
Yeah, well, lots of good observations. I guess we should separate out the premium issue from the program presentation issue, if we're thinking about it, and then we probably should separate out the idea of advertising and the implications of advertising and what that means, because that's when you get into, you know, fraudulent business practice. You're trying to advertise the product. So I think really what we're, without getting into the premium issue, we're talking about, like, you know, we have a program here that comes on Mondays, you know, where there's a doctor on there and a nurse, and they're talking about alternative medicine. So you probably wouldn't be thinking about suing those two people or our station for some kind of intentional misrepresentation. You'd be thinking about more in terms of negligence, you know, and sort of a negligent representation or misrepresentation and then relying on it, I mean, sort of thing. And I think that probably, although a disclaimer may not be foolproof, it really is not a bad idea. And I think that it should be specific to health issues, or, you know, there could be different ones, but insofar as you are talking about health products or ways of potentially treating an illness, you should have it directed, I think. The disclaimer should be directed to that. And I just pulled something up on the web here. So this is the Healthy Life Net, the Positive Radio Network, owned and operated by Creative Health and Spirit, is intended for general information purposes only. It is not designed to provide listeners with specific and personal medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. The programs are not meant to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Individuals with health problems should always consult their health care provider for professional medical advice, medications, or treatments. Healthy Life does not promote anyone's individual practice, programs, agendas, particular treatments, healthcare programs, providers, hospitals, or medical centers. The views expressed by show hosts or their guests are their own, what Ken was saying, and shall not be construed in any way as advice from Healthy Life Net. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air on our web. Personal perspectives expressed, blah, blah, blah. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Healthy Life Net or the show hosts whose work, well, see, now they're jumping over to the show host. Oh, the host, I see, as opposed to the guests, whose words and or opinions appear from or on this website. So there's an example of some boilerplate that we could steal, probably. So I think it's a good idea. It's a reasonable idea. I mean, you know, you may have the same thing if you go to a horse riding stable and you sign away a, you know, you agree that there won't be any liability on the part of the stables. But what the law says is if the stables for some reason are negligent, for example, if they have a horse that they know routinely throws people off and they put a new rider on the horse and they don't tell them about this problem, they're going to be held liable regardless of the disclaimer. But on the other hand, if in the course of normal riding on a normal horse, someone gets thrown off and gets injured, that agreement that the rider has signed is effective to prevent liability. So it's a little bit like signing consent when you go into the hospital, which is my area of law. And you don't, because you sign the consent, you don't consent to negligence. But you know... So that's not effective to prevent the hospital from being sued for negligence. Nonetheless, it is effective to prevent the hospital from being sued for lack of consent to the procedure. So that's my two cents.
Anybody else want to speak to this? Well, okay, I do. I think by all means we should do a disclaimer, but I don't think it should be... And I think it should just be for the medical stuff. We're not likely to be sued for off-the-wall political opinions or...
Going down to the demonstration. Come on down to the demonstration. We're not going to be sued for that.
Right. So that would be my feeling. And that, yeah, we should probably recommend that be the case. Recommend to the PNB. There is a disclaimer which I sent out to the earlier version of this committee last year, which is actually used on a medical show. It's a doctor's the host, and she does give advice over the air, you know. But the disclaimer says, you know, basically, you know, this is basically. And this shouldn't replace
a medical opinion from your own doctor.
Yeah.
It is more to it than that. But that's so if you want to do, take it that way, it's subtext would be it's your responsibility. Don't come back at us for it. So that would be my sense. There's one other issue about this that was actually pointed out by Kriegler, which is we have certain shows that we put on that we just buy. We pay for them, and we don't have much control of the content of those. And there was the suggestion that we have, if one of those shows, I don't know that I know of anyone that's doing medical advice now. We used to have one at KPFT. If one of those shows puts something out, somebody takes it very seriously, some harm is done and wants to sue, the idea was to get an agreement with the people whose shows we're putting on that they're liable, not us, which is kind of a separate issue, but one that I think we probably ought to consider as well. And any thoughts about how to go about doing that would be welcome. Any thoughts today about anything about this? Anybody else want to speak to this?
Yeah, I have a comment. This is Grace, George.
Anybody else who hasn't spoken yet? Okay, go ahead, Grace.
I think that it shouldn't necessarily be limited to health programming, because I can recall, for instance, a few premiums at KPFK, one premium in particular, of advice about what you should do if you're arrested because of the high amount of police brutality. And at other times on KPFK and other stations, I'm sure, legal advice is given, like, you know, how to get out of the army, for instance, or how to, you know, if you're things like that. So there are other areas where we could be liable for damages if somebody takes advice of a show host and it doesn't turn out well for them.
Yeah. Anybody else want to speak to this?
Ken?
Okay, Ken, go ahead.
Okay, so in our discussions here, it's good to get an action item. The first person who spoke, I don't remember his name, from KPFA, he's a lawyer. If we can get somebody
have
lawyers on the board, to somebody finalizing a document, and we'll give you a disclaimer saying you're not responsible for the disclaimer. But I agree with Grace. We should put some distance between ourselves and some of the content being broadcast. We have people doing voodoo medicine during the daytime once a week, and we've had people saying hateful speech at different times, or maligning religions or sex or cultures or individuals. And so it would be proper for our audience, instead of our getting labeled as being Zionist or anti-Zionist, to have disclaimers saying the opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily endorsed or denied by the station, Pacifica. You know, I think there's nothing wrong with doing that. It's good to have crazy programming, and we should explain to the audience that we're putting it on whether we agree with it or not, so that we have diversity. You know, so rather than our getting labeled with, well, you put these on that you must agree with this viewpoint. So it isn't just medical. But the medical is important, you know, for financial reasons, not to get sued. And as Grace said, there could be financial advice, or there could be lovelorn advice. Don't only think about the programs we have, but the programs we might have. I don't know what those stations do where they have a psychiatrist or a psychologist who says, no, you should leave that guy right now. And then he could sue for disaffection of, that's called, I think it's just called disaffection, I don't know. Or something like that, you know, somebody could sue, you contributed to my divorce.
So I don't think there's anything wrong, and it's standard in the radio business. It shouldn't be impossible to discover what the boilerplate is. It just would take some research. I do think it would be better if someone with a legal background was in charge of constructing it. But I would like us today to have, assignment, even to get a motion that of some kind, that disclaimers will be broadcast at all the stations. And, you know, we can say every 20 minutes, we can say whatever we want, and then the PNB can argue it down one way or the other. But I think we should push it forward.
George, this is Bill Gaffney.
Yeah, Bill. Yes.
I agree with everything that's being said. I do think that for medical programs, and maybe even for premiums that could conceivably have a medical purpose, there should just be a disclaimer specifically for medical programs and those premiums, and then another disclaimer for everything else. Because medical stuff is where you're more likely to get, you know, typically going to get into trouble, I think, myself. So, in medical advice, you know, people are always getting medical advice, and then they're going to blame someone when, you know, they get that advice and it doesn't work. So, one way possibly to handle the premium thing would be to, when it's mailed out, someone slips in a written disclaimer about this product. You know, this, you know, that we're specific is not endorsing this product for any medical purpose. Doesn't know that it works or anything like that. Any claims made about it are not claims being made by Pacifica, or they're not supported by Pacifica. Blah blah blah. So, you know, don't rely on the fact that we're sending you this product to make you think that you're, you know, going to get well or it's going to do something for you. So specifically for the on-air medical programs, and then one other one. That's how I would think we should do it. Now, maybe that's a little too complicated, but I would imagine that if the station managers, you know, contacted the people who are doing the medical talk-in, call-in shows, and et cetera, where people are calling in and asking about their medical problems to our guests who are responding, the person who's hosting the show at the station that would be responsible for using the medical disclaimer during that show, and anyone who's doing that type of show would have to use that.
Anyone else want to speak to the differences between what Ken is saying and what Bill is saying? Okay, I would. I also agree that the medical problems are more likely to be sued. Although I hear Grace's point about legal advice also. And we used to have a show which advised people on how to get through immigration and what you could do and what you couldn't do, and how to stay in the country and things like that. I don't want to see a blanket disclaimer every half hour. It's like the effect of that would be like this station is nothing but bullshit. that's the way it would come across, and you know. So I would like to see it for particular shows, certainly for medicine. You know, for if we got legal advice shows, I would say one tailored for that, you know, so it says specifically. And also, I mean, the fact that we're putting them on the air means that we do put ourselves behind them to some extent, right? I mean, there's clearly a broad range, but, I mean...
Well, we are, this bill can't be easy. What we're doing is we're preventing, providing a forum for discussion. You know, that, and because we think these things should be discussed, it's not that we're endorsing the specific medical advice. You know, I'm not an herbal guy. You know, I like my share of herbs, but I'm dubious about their they're, you know, whatever, you know. So I don't think that KPFA is recommending some specific herb for some specific problem. There is someone on the show that's doing that. That's the way I see it. Maybe not everybody sees it that way, but I mean,
yes.
So, but we could make that clear in our disclaimer that it's not, you know, it's not Pacifica. You know, this is a forum for discussion of medical stuff, medical ideas, and that's what we're providing. Is the forum?
Ken to the stack again?
Yeah, Ken, go ahead.
Okay, it's not. We don't have to come up with a disclaimer, the wordage of a disclaimer right now. What we have to come up with is a policy guideline, because the nature of the disclaimer will change as time goes by and laws change from the FCC and enforcement changes and different topics may or may not have to be covered. But what we need to do is institute a procedure for developing and applying disclaimers. The suggestion was excellent that when the product is sent out, we put it in, a written copy. I mean, it would be great legally. I don't know if there's going to be an extended cost on it. But I'm just saying that what we need is an ad hoc, continually sitting committee to address, or some function to address, foundation liability for presentations done over the air. It's a function. I don't, you know, there's nothing in the bylaws about having a legal hat or who's supposed to make sure that we're not breaking the law or then we're covered from lawsuits. But that is what's needed. And, you know, we can come up with a disclaimer and it could be no good in a week because of politics or so forth. So if we could just make up with a motion, I feel like, I don't know why I'm not coming up with one, that assigns it as an important function that should be handled and can be handled by volunteers, an ad hoc committee, busy work, but that's what we need. It's an ongoing function. It's not going to be solved by one disclosure. It's going to change through time, and it's going to change through this judgment. George, you're presenting the fact that there's judgment involved in which programs require it. I know that if I get on the air and do the 9/11 as an inside job, you're going to want a disclaimer, or somebody's going to want a disclaimer saying, these wackos do not represent the viewpoint of Pacifica, you know. But we have to have those programs on the air. We can't censor them just because they're not popular. And, you know, Black Panthers, so it's an ongoing function. I just somebody might come up with a motion to cover this and institute the initial or restoration of disclaimers, because I'm sure the stations all had histories of at some point in time making statements of disclaimers.
This is not the line like to speak to this. Well, first of all, we're spending too much time on it. And
excuse me, Mona Lyons asked for the stack, and I think I'm next to be recognized.
Yeah. Oh, did you say you were on the stack before me? Are you saying that? I'm sorry, this is Maski La, Lona. Did you say you were on the stack before me?
I did not say I was on the stack. I said I asked to be recognized to the stack before you started to speak.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to know.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I didn't hear
you.
Would
you be willing to defer to Lona?
Say what?
I'm asking two questions, really. Lona, would you like to speak first? And Maskila, would you be willing to defer to Lona?
Well, it doesn't matter, as long as I speak.
Okay. Lona, go ahead.
Good evening. Sorry I'm late, everybody. Number one, I must admit.
There's a problem with the conference call. It's cutting out.
Yeah, Lona, we can't hear you at all.
Right. Is there something, wrong?
Well, it could be at our end. It could be the cell phone. Lona, can you hear us? Lona? Muscula, you go ahead, and when we get Lona back.
Yeah, first of all, I think we're spending too much time with this. There are stations that do disclaimers regularly. You know, once every hour, they could say, well, do say that this does not represent the views of the station, et cetera. This is a particular show. And I think that it's common. It's everybody does it. And I don't see why we are taking so much time doing this. So anyway, I agree that I think there should be a medical disclaimer and then a general disclaimer, you know, for everything else. But just let's get it on the floor and pass it on to the PNB so that they can come up with whatever is needed on that. That's my two cents.
Okay, Lona, go ahead. Lona, are you there? Okay. So I hear a clear consensus that we want to move something forward, that there should be a disclaimer. Some question about a general disclaimer or a particular disclaimer. I think there's a consensus that there should be a disclaimer, certainly for medical shows. I don't, in fact, want to see a disclaimer for 9/11 stuff or for contrails or any of the other sort of stuff that I don't really think really makes a lot of sense, but nobody's going to get hurt by believing it. Nobody's going to, you know, nobody can sue us for that. I am loath to just have a disclaimer for everything. And we have another public radio station here. They don't do that. And we've never done that. We do have a disclaimer for the medical show, and I'd be quite happy to sort of put that forward as a start to the PNB for what we should think for the medical show, for medical shows throughout the network. In terms of where to go from here, would someone make a motion to the effect that we send something? I would like to do that. I would like to take the thing that we have, which is already on the air, forward it to the PNB, say we've got this problem. This is at the beginnings of a solution to it. There are other issues as well for other kinds of problems like legal advice legal advice, I guess. I'm not sure I can think of others, but.
Is this a meeting?
Oh, God. Learn our lives back to this fact.
So if, if someone make a motion to that effect, we could get this rolling. If the PNB wants to see more, they can send it back. But it would at least get the conversation going. Lona, glad to have you back. We just couldn't hear you after a while, after a short
I got moment. Dropped. I got kicked off the call, so I wasn't even doing it. So I had to call back in.
Okay.
If I might be recognized. What I wanted to say is that at WPFW, for every person who comes on the air who is going to be a guest, they must sign a release form. And I was thinking that maybe the release form could have some boilerplate language added to it, that the advice or similar to the wording that would be in a disclaimer that we play on the air, that the following program, the preceding program, is the opinion of the producers and not necessarily that of Pacifica, and its affiliate and its management. And any medical advice should only be undertaken with the doctor, after consulting their physician. In terms of the boilerplate language is on a relief form for the people that are going to be on the air, that we add to that a similar type of thing that saying that they indemnify Pacifica, its affiliates, and its business and its management from any harm that may be caused by anything that they share on the air. And that way we will have a double-sided, not just what's on the air, but also the agreement with the person who's gone on the air, that if any damages a correctable person as a result of following any advice that they give, that they assume responsibility for it, and that's in writing.
Okay, that's stronger than previously suggested. People want to speak to that, or to we'll put a motion on the floor that we can sort of move on.
I move that we submit to the PMB for a disclaimer that is part of any medical advice on any of the stations or affiliates of Pacifica. In addition to that, that there's boilerplated language developed and added to any release form that any on-air guest signed.
Okay, so...
This is Bill Campese. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Yeah.
Sure. So the two parts to it are...
Jim. I'd like to speak on that as well.
Oh, Jim Winder. You want to be on the stack, Jim?
Yes.
Okay, so Bill and then Jim.
Well, this is Bill Campese. The asking guests to indemnify the station, probably most guests won't read it or care or even understand what the implications of that are. But actually, for those that do, it could be a pretty heavy burden in terms of them feeling like they're willing to come on air, because I mean that's a pretty heavy duty proposition. When you agree to indemnify someone, you're basically saying that you're going to pick up their defense, you're going to pay for their defense, and if they then get held for any kind of damages, you're going to pay their damages, and that's a pretty hefty duty obligation. So like I say, probably most people won't even think about it and will sign it. But actually how realistic that is in the long run, most of the people I imagine that come onto our stations are not well-heeled and aren't insured for that kind of thing. So I'm not so sure about the indemnification part of it.
Jim?
First, I agree with what Lona was saying wholeheartedly. I know that for us, for our public affairs program, we have a specific disclaimer for the public affairs program, which is a little bit different from that of music. And sometimes we air one that is inclusive of both public affairs and music programs. And I know that on our program, the program that I produce, which is a mental health program, we have a specific disclaimer there that says that that protects us, I think, from any kind of attack. And it's not always our goal to protect the guest, but our goal is to protect the station. And protecting the station, in doing so, we keep the language to a tone or to a specific level that it explains to the guests exactly what they're getting into. And over the years, I don't think we've had a guest to come on who was sued for anything. And I think we need to make sure that each one of our stations are protected. And protect it in a way that none of what the last person said can happen. And there is a way to word those disclaimers so that is the case.
Anyone else want to speak to this motion that's on the floor?
Well just Bill Campese, just one thought. I was the guy who was talking about indemnification. I mean,
yeah.
Remember, anybody can sue anybody for anything. So, regardless of a piece of paper or a disclaimer, if I took an herbal product and it made me ill, and I felt it was on the recommendation of an herbalist on KPFA, and I got really sick or something really bad happened to me, then I might turn around and sue that person and sue KPFA because I can do it. I mean, I just file a lawsuit in the Alameda County Superior Court, and I name KPFA in it. So now I'm suing them. So then, you know, then KPFA could bring some kind of a motion to try to get the lawsuit thrown out based on the disclaimer. So, but in the meantime, it's expensive, right? So KPFA has to hire a lawyer.
Yes.
So the other person's point was, the woman who spoke about the indemnification agreement, the benefit of the indemnification agreement from a person who's talking about, you know, giving medical advice, is that person then, under the agreement that that person has with KPFA when they come to speak, they're supposed to pay for that legal cost, even to hire the lawyer to get the case thrown out. That would be the point of having an indemnity agreement with the guest who's going to speak. Those are the considerations in terms of what the piece of paper, what the disclaimer does. I mean, whether the disclaimer is effective or not, is that's a much more complex legal issue. But just in terms of whether it keeps you from getting sued initially, no. It doesn't prevent anybody from walking into a courtroom and suing you. It may truncate the lawsuit. It may shorten the lawsuit. The lawsuit will get over real fast, and you won't end up being held liable for damages, but you can still be sued.
Well, this is George. This was actually suggested by Kriegler for third-party shows, where actually they're not our guests. They're somebody who we're paying them for the show. And they're putting people on the air, that we get such a disclaimer from them, which seemed to me a good idea. On the other hand, getting a disclaimer from all of our guests for everything, I don't think so. I won't support that. First of all, often guests are last minute. Won't have time to think about it. They're likely to be scared away. And I don't think it's necessary. I think the cost of doing it in terms of crimping our ability to actually put on good radio limiting the number of people who are willing to show up as a guest isn't worth the risk, at least for people that we are vetting ourselves, that we're putting on the air ourselves, that we are deciding that whether we agree with them or not, we'll think it's at least worth putting on the air. I don't think that they need to. I think we can take responsibility for that if we get sued. So I would be opposed to the second part of this, but I certainly support the first part. Anybody else want to speak to this?
William Hairwagon.
10 to the stack.
Okay, William, what's your point of information?
The motion being discussed, did it involve having a guest sign something?
There were two parts to it, Bill. William, the first part was that we send a disclaimer for medical shows to the PMB and suggest it be used for all the medical shows. The second part was that we ask our guests to sign disclaimers on, actually, as I understood it, it was much more widely than medical shows, such that if what they say on the air causes a lawsuit to be filed, that they're responsible for handling the lawsuit and we're not. Is that correct, Lona? Did I say that correctly?
Neither part of it was actually said exactly the way that I said it, so I'm going to repeat the motion. The motion was not that we send a disclaimer to the PMB, but that we recommend to the PMB that it is the policy for every station that's affiliated with the network that they have a disclaimer on the air that's for any shows where advice is being given. I didn't limit it to medical. And then I said, in addition to that, the second part of it, that to any show where advice is being given, that there's a disclaimer played either before, after, or during the show that says pretty much the boilerplate, the information, the preceding information, or the upcoming information, is the opinion of the you know, the guest and not the opinion that's being offered is not necessarily that of Pacifica, its management or its affiliates, but is that solely of the guests involved. And that the second part of it be that when that guest signs the release form, that there's boilerplate language on there that says specifically that the any advice that they give, that they take full responsibility, and that Pacifica, its affiliate, its management, its staff are indemnified against any harm from anything that they may say on the air, from any advice that they may give. Well, that's my motion.
Okay, William, was there anything else about that? Anything else you needed to know about it?
No, but then I'll get on the stack.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I think I heard somebody else as well. Was there somebody else that wanted to be on the stack?
This is Grace. I'd like to be on the stack after everyone else.
And then Ken.
Okay. William, and then Grace and Ken.
Okay, thank you. I think the part about getting somebody to sign a release, a guest, wouldn't fly. Certainly wouldn't work at WBAI. We don't have enough people to remember to turn on the light switch, so we're not going to get people to sign forms. And I think that would just be asking for trouble to say that, oh, we have a policy that everybody signs a form, and then you find out that nobody's signing the forms. So I would be against that altogether.
Grace.
I strongly agree with Lona's motion. I think it's very good. I think that we should expect our stations to be professional, not say that they're too incompetent to do their jobs or be, you know. And the other thing is, I think it should not be limited to medical. It should be any advice. And I also think that generalized disclaimers should be aired because there are people who have fail to renew their memberships because they get upset about one show. And if it's expressed from time to time that we believe in free speech and that the viewpoint of one host or one program does not represent of the opinion of Pacifica. It's not the editorial view of the station or the network. I think that might cause listeners who might be turned off by a specific show to reconsider renewing their membership or giving us support. We all know that because we've been engaged for a very long time. But listeners who only occasionally tune in might be taken aback by something they strongly disagree with. And if it's explained to them that we believe in free speech and that that's senior to controversy, they may take a more positive view about becoming a member.
Ken.
Okay, I strongly support the motion. I would like to add two things. Instead of trying to craft a disclaimer in this motion, I'd rather we had a term of art like an appropriate disclaimer to shield the station and the network from unwanted liability. And leave the.
I think that was already Lona's intention. She
started to state what the disclaimer would be. So I'm just saying in our motion, it should just not state the disclaimer, but refer to it and say an appropriate disclaimer to shield the station and network from unwanted liability or some such. And the other factor is, with all of these motions, we have to assign responsibility. So at the end, I would like to have a statement like, the program director and specific individual programmers will be responsible for the implementation of this policy so that it sits on their head. That the program director's got to make sure his programmers are reading these disclaimers in the manner and to the degree required. And even if that's, you know, even if it's a judgment, whether it's got to be done three times an hour or once a day or something. But whatever the policy is, the program director and individual programmers are responsible for implementation of this policy.
Okay.
George, this is Bill Kempe. I'd like to talk about process, too, so if I can be at the stack.
I need to talk about process, too, here. So would you like to make that as an amendment to Lona's motion? Okay, sure.
My amendment is that at the after the statement of the motion that is added on to it, the program director and specific individual programmers will be held responsible for are responsible for the implementation of this policy.
Okay. Is there any objection to that amendment? Okay, Bill, go ahead.
I want to object to the whole process. I think we're going about this wrong. If we're serious about this, then we need to have a little subcommittee. We need to circulate a proposal to the board. We need to develop a proposal that we're going to make to the board. And the proposal could have, you know, majority and minority sides if you wanted, if that's necessary. But what we really should be doing is putting down something in writing that takes an overview that says, you know, we think we need a disclaimer. People have talked about having a disclaimer just for medical shows or advice shows, for all shows, having it read some of the time, you know, and present what the different options are and create this written proposal that, you know, represents our thinking as the governance board about the possibilities that there are for different types of disclaimers, the step about putting something, putting a writing into the package that you send out the premiums in, et cetera. So that we now have, a 3 or 4 page or 5 page document that the governance committee has developed and is giving to the board, which sort of outlines the problem and potential solutions. And then we can take it from there. I mean, right now, trying to concretize something specifically in a motion is premature. It just doesn't make any sense. It's a little bit like trying to write a constitution in an hour. It's not the right way to do this. We should be circulating a writing amongst ourselves in which we put down our ideas and then we, you know, get all the necessary paragraphing and syntax and then we have a document to give to the board and then maybe we do round two might be finalizing it. That's what I think.
Can you hear me? Please speak. Who wanted to be on this
next? Lona.
Lona and who else?
Jan Goodman.
Jan and who else?
Can I be heard?
Jim Brown.
I hear someone with.
Serene is very low. I can hear her, but not clearly.
Serene, are you there? Did you want to be on the stack?
Yes.
Okay, and then I heard someone after Serene.
Jim Brown.
Oh, I have you after Lona, Jim. And then Serene. Is anybody else? I have Lona, Jim, and Serene. Does anybody else want to speak?
Jan?
Oh, Jan. Jan. Oh, I have Jan.
Jan was before me.
Hello? Yes, Jan. Are you calling on me?
No. No. I want to take what William just said. And what I hear you saying, Jim, William, is that you would like to postpone this discussion and create a working group to summarize essentially all of the options which people were laying out and put them into a document as the report, the PNB, of the Governance Committee consideration of this issue. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, it's Bill. So that's the distinction. It's Bill Campisi versus William.
Okay, good.
So with
good.
Bill who was talking, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's what we should do. We should have a report about it before we start saying that managers should do this or this. You know, we should just report on it. You know, what the idea, and we can include all those ideas in the report.
Okay. So you want to make that motion? Is that correct?
Yeah, I want to make that as a substitute motion that a subcommittee of the governance committee prepare a report and that we circulate a writing to every member of the governance committee. They can add whatever they want, put their initials or name to it. You know, and we try to get a consensus document that reports out the various possibilities for for how this would work, you know, as a for Pacifica, for all stations.